What is up, Wake? Woo! How are we doing this morning? Learned Psalm 1, gave some worship, realized if animals were real or fake. I think it was a pretty good morning overall, but this morning, we are going to be in Psalm 34, and so I am incredibly excited for us to dive in to Psalm 34, which the title of Psalm 34 is actually Taste and See That the Lord is Good. And when I heard taste and see the first time, my mind immediately went to three things, and I want to share with you those three things. So the first thing that my mind went to when I hear taste and see is cookie two-step. Bluebell ice cream, the only flavor of Bluebell. It's really just the best. I think you could get rid of all other flavors and just have cookie two-step, and it would be incredible. The best flavor by far, cookie two-step. All right, the second thing my mind ran to, the best fast food restaurant, Chicken Express. Incredibly underrated. If you haven't tried a large Dr. Pepper and some corn nuggets from Chicken Express, I would venture to say that you haven't lived. So, if your parents ask you, where should we go to lunch today? Chicken Express, right off 75. All right, and the last thing, I think you guys will enjoy this one, that I thought of in Taste and See, is Old Faithful Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I know. It's the fan favorite. You know what you're going to get every time. The same order. Great service. I worked there for a few months. It's a great place. Is it up there in the same place as Chicken Express? I think so. But guys, here's the deal. When you hear Taste and See, you might think of different foods. You might think of different things that you want to just share with others because they have changed your life. And today, that is not the same Taste and See that we are going to be talking about at Wake. We are actually going to be talking about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good and that His promises are good. And so we are going to jump into Psalm 34, but I want to first start with a question. And I want you guys to think about this. This is a question not for you to answer right now, but to think about throughout the service. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to yell anything out. But this is the question. What is something that we all want, we all are promised, but only a few experience? What is something we all want, we are all promised, but only a few experience? And we will circle back to that question as we move on. But for right now, I want us to think about Psalm 34. And I'm going to give you some quick context to set you up to the psalm that we're about to dive into. So for that, we're going to do a little bit of history on the nation of Israel. So before David writes this psalm, essentially what's going on with Israel is they are following God. They are looking around at other kingdoms, and they are realizing all of these other kingdoms have a king. They have someone to point to and lead them, and we want a king. But God says, no, I am your king. And the nation of Israel says, yeah, we got that. But we need a physical king. We need someone that we actually can follow. And so God gives them a king. They gives them what they asked for. And this man who is tall, dark, and handsome, and full of character flaws, Saul becomes the king of Israel. And at the same time as Saul becomes king over Israel, David is a shepherd boy. We know he's tending the fields, watching over the flocks, and he is anointed to become king over Israel. And so while Saul becomes bitter and gives in to all of these different desires and character flaws and pride, David becomes a leader for the nation of Israel. He kills Goliath. He goes on to continue to serve the king and serve his army. But Saul ultimately, in his jealousy and pride and anger, seeks to try to kill David. And so David has to flee from his home, from his family, and from everything he's known. And he runs away from King Saul. And David runs to the king of another land named Abimelech. And at this time, Abimelech was an enemy of the king, but David thought, okay, I can go and find refuge here from Saul. But Abimelech recognizes David. He's like, hey, you're that guy who was the military leader of Israel. And so I'm actually going to put you in prison, and I think I'm going to kill you, and we're not going to let you live. And so David is now in prison underneath Abimelech, and He pretends, he prays and prays and prays and seeks the Lord, and he pretends to be insane. He pretends that he's lost his mind. And the king, at that time, lets him go. He thinks this man has lost his mind. He is insane. And so I'm not going to keep him as a prisoner anymore. And so the Lord delivers David from the hand of Abimelech, from certain death. And David runs to a cave where he meets a bunch of his other men who have run and fled from the nation of Israel. So we are going to pick up right there in our story in 1 Samuel 22. And it says in 1 Samuel 22, David departed from there and he escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were about 400 men. So I want you to picture that and imagine that 400 men gather around David, and the words that are used to describe these men's posture are distress, debt, and bitter in soul. And so think about 400 sets of eyes on you, turning, looking to you for answers in the midst of seeing no hope and no life. And so if you haven't already at this point now, turn to Psalm 34. And I picture David in this cave, and I want you to picture this with me as well. I imagine him telling the story of how God delivered him from the hands of Abimelech to these 400 men. And it's wet, and it's cold, and it's dark in this cave. And David begins to tell the story to encourage these 400 men. And he says to them, I killed Goliath. I served the king my entire life, but he ended up hating me. He tried to kill me. So I ran. I fled my home. I left my family. I left everything I ever knew, only to run to Abimelech, to be thrown in prison and put on death row. He was torturing me. I didn't know what to do. And these 400 men lean in, I'm sure, in this cave, and they're just someone in the back, I picture, just going, so what happened next? And David just says, I prayed. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me, and I wrote this psalm. And so this psalm, Psalm 34, is written by David after the Lord has delivered him from the hands of Abimelech, and he shared it with others to share of the goodness of God and of the promises that God showed David while he was in prison. And so I'm actually going to give you all 3 minutes. We're going to play some music, and I want you to take some time and read Psalm 34. And if it's on your phone, that's great, but don't use this time to talk to a neighbor. Don't use this time to get on Instagram. Genuinely read through Psalm 34. If you don't have a Bible, the words are going to be on the screen, but just take 3 minutes. And as you read it, I want you to think about the setting and the character and everything that is going on here and what David shares to encourage these men's heart. And what he shares from the setting and the place of God delivering him from that prison. So take 3 minutes, and then I'm going to come back up after that. All right, you can come back in. And so I want to share with you guys, I did this exact same exercise. I set a 3-minute timer on my phone, and I went through Psalm 34. And I want to share with you the couple things that stood out to me as I read this psalm in light of everything that we just talked about. And so the first thing that I noticed is that David praises the Lord. And this is his very first response. In verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His first thing that he shares is that he praises the Lord. Second thing I noticed is that he describes the character and the promises of the Lord. Verses 4 through 6, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He talks about the goodness of God and his character. That he's a good God who delivers him, and those who seek him and look to him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. The Lord heard me and saved me. And then the other thing I noticed is that he encourages those around him to come and experience exactly what he has just experienced. In verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." He's looking at all those men who are in debt, in distress. I'm sure a lot of those men in that cave were wrestling with anxiety, sadness. They had no home. They were literally sleeping on a rock. And he says, "But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." And if David can say that in the midst of being in prison, driven out of his home, someone was trying to murder him, do we believe that that's true for us? Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Another thing I notice is that he desires to teach everyone of this exact same experience. In verse 11, he says, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. I want you to come and experience this exact same life change that I have. I want you to come and experience the deliverance and the goodness of God. Let me teach you to fear the Lord." And lastly, I saw that he shares the promises of God's character. In verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit." Guys, if you don't think that God sees you or hears you, or you feel like you're just talking to the air sometimes, you're not alone. But in the midst of David being in absolute despair, he says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And I want you to think back to that opening question. What is something that we all want, we are all promised, but only a few experience? And the answer is peace. Peace. We all want it. We're all promised it, but only a few of us experience it. And why is that? John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus is saying in that passage, I'm offering you a way of life that leads to peace. It's found in him and him alone. So guys, if you have one big takeaway from today, I want you to look at Psalm 34, and as you continually read your Bible, be reminded that God's promises provide peace. Three P's. God's promises provide peace, and we can have peace as we look at and study his word and we look at his promises, because he is near to the brokenhearted. He is near to those who are crushed in spirit. And so as you hear the title of this psalm, "Taste and See That the Lord is Good," my encouragement to you is to test and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes we can get confusing maybe in that wording, but test the promises of Scripture. Because as you test them, you actually find that they are more life-giving. John 10:10 says, "I have come," Jesus speaking, "I have come so that you may have life and life to the full." And his promises provide peace. And when we walk in them and we test the promises of Scripture, we find peace. And so as you guys leave this Sunday, my encouragement is that exact same exercise you guys can do on your own. Set a 10-minute timer. Set a 15-minute timer. But sit down and look at your Bible and see, what are the promises of God? What are the things I notice about his character? How can I be encouraged and encourage others by the promises of his word? Because our word is filled with hurt, lies. Our friends push us to find life in other streams of water, but we know that only God will satisfy. And so, guys, my encouragement to you this morning is that David found peace, deliverance, life, and joy in the Lord. And I'm inviting you, just as David did, to taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you will, bow your heads, and we will pray. Lord, I am so grateful that you offer peace and that you alone give peace. And you don't give us peace as the world tries to offer us, but it is found in you and your character and your goodness alone. So I pray that this morning that we would walk out of here and we would be encouraged and feel equipped and ready to go and study your word and to truly see that your promises provide peace. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.